Howdy. Welcome to yet another episode of This Week in Texas. As always, I'm your host, Jeremy Kitchen. On this week's episode, we're going to discuss everything that has happened so far during the ongoing special legislative session and what will likely happen this week. We'll also discuss the new chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, among other things. Buckle up for your preview of the week ahead in Texas politics. The first called special legislative session began last Thursday. Thus far, not all of the bills relating to the issues on the governor's special session agenda have been filed. If you're seeking an analysis of each issue on the special session agenda, I joined Texas Scorecard's managing editor, Brandon Waltons, for a special podcast episode last week where we broke down each issue, including its disposition, in the regular legislative session. I'll make sure to include that in today's show notes page, or if you prefer, you can also find it on the Texas Scorecard website. Both the House and Senate prioritized hearing bills related to restoring Article 10 funding as the special session got underway. You may recall that Governor Abbott followed through on a threat to defund the legislature shortly after two of his emergency legislative priorities, those being bail reform and election integrity, died in the waning days of the 87th regular session. In what many have called a controversial move, he employed his line item veto power and got rid of all of Article 10 of the overall Appropriations Act, which specifically funds the legislature, legislative agencies, and staff. Abbott added this issue to his special session agenda in what many assumed would be a carrot and stick approach, meaning that he would only sign it if the legislature fulfilled the other items on the special session agenda. The House Appropriations Committee heard and passed out its bill, House Bill 1, unanimously on Friday. The Senate Finance Committee heard its version of the bill, Senate Bill 10, but has thus far not passed it out of their committee. In the event the legislature does pass one of those two bills out first, there is a possible scenario by which Abbott would have 10 business days to consider it, well within the 30-day window of the overall special legislative session. Put plainly, if he vetoed it again, the legislature could then attempt to override his veto since they're still in session, which is an action that has not taken place in decades. Of course, it's possible he signs it, but if that happens, many lawmakers are concerned that perhaps the lone deterrent keeping Democrat lawmakers here from busting quorum or walking out again when they consider things like the election integrity bill is gone. Needless to say, there are several possible scenarios, including delaying the consideration of such bills until after other items are passed, but only time will tell if that actually happens. On Saturday, both the House Committee on Constitutional Rights and Remedies and the Senate Jurisprudence Committee heard each chamber's version of the bail reform legislation. This is one of the two emergency legislative items of Abbott's that failed at the end of the regular session. The House Committee voted out House Bill 2 and its enabling legislation, House Joint Resolution 1, and they're on their way to the House Calendars Committee for their consideration. The Senate Committee chose not to vote out Senate Bill 6 or its enabling legislation, Senate Joint Resolution 3, as of yet. Expect that to occur this week. The bills related to the other emergency legislative item that died, election integrity, were also heard over the weekend. In the House, the omnibus election integrity bill has taken the form of House Bill 3, and compared to the regular session, it now has a different author in State Representative Andrew Murr, a Republican from Junction. It was passed out of the House Constitutional Rights and Remedies Committee by a party-line vote of 9 in favor and 6 opposed. The Senate version of the bill, Senate Bill 1, by State Senator Brian Hughes, a Republican from Mineola, was also heard over the weekend. It was voted out on Sunday, again a party-line vote, with 6 in favor and 3 in opposition. It's unclear how quickly each chamber will act on these bills, given that, in many respects, the delay of such in the regular session prompted much of the controversy that has taken place since then. On one hand, I would assume they would attempt to get them to the floor quickly to be good stewards of the time that they have remaining in the special session. On the other hand, a delay of such things might be something negotiated between factions to include parties in both legislative bodies of the legislature. This week will be key in setting the tone for the remainder of the 30-day special legislative session. Other priorities that have been scheduled for a hearing this week include bills related to social media censorship. The Senate State Affairs Committee will be hearing both Senate Bill 5, again by State Senator Brian Hughes, which offers protections for free speech on social media platforms. They'll also be hearing Senate Bill 24, which would require the Texas Attorney General to maintain a list of social media companies that infringe on free speech, and then in turn require that state entities divest from those companies, among other provisions. The Senate State Affairs Committee will meet at 1 p.m. on Monday. That same committee will also be hearing bills related to the governor's call for protecting girls and youth sports. Abbott specifically requested that the legislature consider bills that were identical to Senate Bill 29 as it passed the Senate in the regular session. This was the bill that required that athletes play in the sport that corresponds with their gender listed on their birth certificate, and it applied to UIL athletics in a kindergarten through 12th grade setting. The bill passed the Senate but died in the House after being delayed on the House floor beyond a deadline, precluding its consideration. It has taken the form of Senate Bill 2 this session. Both the House and Senate considered and passed out bills related to what is called a 13th check for those that receive benefits under the Teachers' Retirement System of Texas. Ultimately, these bills would increase the amount of money given as a monthly benefit. They took the form of House Bill 85 and Senate Bill 7, and both passed unanimously out of the House Pensions, Investments, and Financial Services Committee, as well as the Senate Finance Committee last week. It should be noted that this bill took the form of House Bill 3507 during the regular session, where out of the 150 members in the overall House of Representatives, 129 of them were supporters or authors on the bill. But the bill died in the House Calendars Committee. It was not an emergency legislative priority of Governor Abbott's in the regular session. There are still agenda items that have yet to been filed. Several lawmakers have filed bills not specifically on things on the agenda, but related to Republican Party of Texas legislative priorities that did not get accomplished during the regular session. Some of these include bills relating to protecting children from gender modification. These include the same authors of such bills in the regular session, like State Representative Steve Toth, Republican from the Woodlands, Matt Krause, a Republican from Hazlitt, Brian Slayton, a Republican from Royce City, and State Senator Bob Hall, a Republican from Edgewood. Thus far, none of those bills have been referred to a committee. Last week, Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller wrote a letter to Governor Abbott imploring him to add this issue to the special session agenda, among a few others. The week preceding the beginning of the special session, the Texas Freedom Caucus also sent a letter to Abbott requesting that the issue be added. Thus far, it has not been. Abbott can add or subtract issues from the agenda at any time. Let's switch gears here. On Sunday, July 11th, the State Republican Executive Committee, or SREC, met to elect a new chairman to the Republican Party of Texas. There were four candidates in that race, which included former State Representative Matt Rinaldi, current Orange County Chairman and Orange County Republican Party Chairman and President of the Republican County Chairman's Association, David Covey, political consultant and lobbyist Chad Wilbanks, and Bill Birch, who's a former congressional candidate and chairman of an organization named the Grassroots Institute of Texas. There were 64 available votes. The winner only had to obtain 33 of them, which is a majority plus one. At the end of only one round of voting, former State Representative Matt Rinaldi won with a total of 34 votes. David Covey received 21, Chad Wilbanks received 6, and Bill Birch received 3. Rinaldi will now serve out the remainder of the term vacated by the now former chairman, Alan West, who served in the capacity for less than 1 year. He has previously announced his candidacy seeking the Republican nomination for governor, challenging Greg Abbott. Well, that's it for this week's episode, folks. Join us again next Monday for another update. As always, as the special session unfolds, the best way to stay up to date is to follow me on Twitter and Facebook by searching for the handle @OpinionatedK. I'll see y'all next week with another update. Y'all take care.